Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by the great
Ed Jarrow. How are you? Good to see you.
Hey, hey,
be
Ed.
with
It's
you.
It's always great catching up with you. It's become a bit of a tradition on WTOP to have Ed Jarrow on, talking about whatever production you're in at the moment. They're always great. This time we're talking Angels in America, Part One: Millennium Approaches. It's at Arena Stage now through only April 23rd, so only a couple weeks left to see it. But thank you so much for joining us, Ed.
I'm glad to be here, Jason. Love talking with you.
All right. So remind our listeners why it's a two-parter here. So explain, tee up the premise of what part one is about.
Great. Sure. Well, Angels in America is, I just said, two-part work. The first part is called Millennium Approaches. It takes place in 1985 during the AIDS crisis, set in New York. And we're really looking at two couples, one heterosexual couple, one homosexual couple, and how they're dealing with repressed homosexuality and being victims of AIDS in a government that's really paying no attention. So it reminds us of that period in history, and we track the two couples. It's really a love story. Janosch would say it's a love story, and it is. But it has it's a 30-year-old play. It's his 30th year. It's one of the great works of American theater. Maybe some consider it the greatest work of American theater in the 20th century, certainly. And it has resonance today, certainly coming out of the COVID crisis and what it was like to feel threatened, as existentially threatened, you know, were we going to make it through and so forth, and how people respond. But it's really a love poem about relationships, about America, and what it means to be in America. It's a fantastic work. I didn't know it actually as well as many people did in theater before we did this production. And it's an extraordinary bit of writing. It has Shakespearean dimension to it in terms of character, in terms of language. It's really quite extraordinary.
Wow. Yeah. It won the Pulitzer and the Tony when it came out. And does real quick, just a slight tangent, does Arena plan to do part two, or is this just like, let's do the part one and then we'll see what happens?
Well, it's scheduled to do part one, but there's a lot of clamoring to go on to part two, particularly after how this production, part one came out. And many folks are saying, when is part two going to happen? Hard to say. We would love to do it, of course, anywhere, anytime, but with this company and this production. But no plans at the moment, but we're, you know, always, there's always hope.
Gotcha. Well, tell me about your character. You play Roy Cohn. Is that right?
I play Roy Cohn.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And closeted gay lawyer at the time.
Yeah. I mean, he was denying that he was gay. He's denied that he had AIDS. And how current is Roy Cohn today, right? Who really created, you could argue that he created Trumpism, sort of the political landscape that we're in today.
We've heard Donald Trump say,
where's my Roy Cohn? Donald Trump did say, where's my Roy Cohn? And I say on my Facebook page, look no further. He's at Arena Stage until the 23rd. but you know, what an incredible character. And to have him in the play is fascinating because he represents the Reagan era, denial, and power. A lot of the play is about power and politics and what it takes. He's an evil man, at least in the play. He's a Mephistopheles kind of character, a huge ego, and to be able to deny that he is homosexual, at least as he says, I'm a heterosexual man who messes around with guys. Because at the time, of course, his argument is that to be homosexual is not about having sex. It's about the clout that you have in the world. And at that time, of course, particularly during the AIDS crisis, gays were relegated to the sidelines. And, you know, the government was not helping them. You may remember, I mean, ACT UP was created to bring attention to the crisis. And in fact, Roy Cohn was at the White House while he was diagnosed with AIDS with a partner. But because he had clout, as he says, you know, I go to the White House and President Ronald Reagan smiles at me and shakes his hand. That's clout. Yeah. If you were an outed homosexual at the time, that wouldn't be happening.
Right, right. Well, you mentioned that he's a quote evil man in this play. Is there any examples of, you know, how is he sort of pushing back against the heroes in this play?
Well, you know, there's a character of Joe Pitt that he has a relationship with, who is a Mormon, who is struggling with his sexuality, and he's using his power to place this character in the Justice Department to give him cover. Because he's about to be disbarred, and he is eventually disbarred in history, to use Joe Pitt as a way to manipulate the justice system. He also talks about his relationship with Ethel Rosenberg. He prosecuted the Rosenberg case and spoke to a judge on the bench hearing the case ex parte to convince him to not give her life, but have her executed. And he takes responsibility for that in the play. So he's, because he says he hates traitors and communists. And we know that his history of being related with Joe McCarthy as a 22, 23-year-old lawyer. He's advising Joe McCarthy during the Red Scare and the HUAC hearings. So he has a long pedigree of using power corruptly, which is so de rigueur at the moment, right? It's just the way it is.
Oh, it's so timely. Yeah. People are going to turn out to watch this and they're just going to feel like a lot of certain lines are probably going to feel like they were written out.
Absolutely. One of the favorite lines, the biggest laugh in the play is, you know, we want Joe to go to Washington. And his wife says, Washington, nothing good ever happens in Washington. Huge laugh. So it's a lot of it is that part of it, the legal part of it, the justice system part of it, the political part is red meat for Washington audience.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And also the title sort of it's there's sort of layers to it, because doesn't the main character sort of see visions of angels and things like that, or ghosts?
Yes, these are drug induced because of the prior, who is a victim of AIDS, is on some kind of protocol, and the drugs allow him to see these visions of angels. Meanwhile, Joe Pitt's wife is Valium addicted, and she's having hallucinations as well. So we're in this sort of fever dream landscape of a dreamscape, I would say, where visions are appearing. And Janosch has taken that and removed the play from a realistic setting in New York and put it on this incredible environment of an arena within an arena. There's a bunch of 6 inches of sand. The whole theater is wrapped in plastic, and you get a fully immersive experience. As you walk into the theater, you're hearing the tolling of names of people who have passed away from AIDS. And as a company, we were asked to put in names of friends that we knew, people that we knew, and we're saying their names. So in a way, it's you walk into the theater and you know you're in a it's a memorial feel, and you're immediately in an environment that is not what you've seen before with this play, and it puts it on a completely different level. It's not realistic in that regard. It's a dreamscape. It's really quite extraordinary. It's archetypal.
Tell me about the actual, the writer too. It's Tony Kushner. A lot of people know, will remember, you know, he's become like Steven Spielberg's go-to screenwriter with Munich and Lincoln and West Side Story and The Fable.
Exactly. And, you know, folks have said, has Tony Kushner sent you new material? Because it sounds so immediate. And no, this is the actual text, the 1990 text. What a great writer. Really beautifully written, great speeches, funny, moving. I mean, it's just incredible to work inside. And we're still working. We're still discovering. And it's really deep and it's fun to work on, and what a terrific company. I've been in this business for, you know, 4 decades plus, and you always want to work with, you work with folks who are better than you, and you work with younger folks, maybe you can pass on some things to them. But in this case, there are 8 actors who are at the top of their game, and Janosch has created an environment where we're all mature artists, completely transparent, a great sense of trust, and we're doing things in ways that we wouldn't normally. We're taking risks in rehearsals. We're still discovering in performance, And that's really rare. And the company is in a 4-week process. Janos is from Hungary, yeah, where they're state supported. You're used to an 8-week rehearsal period. In 4 weeks, we created this really tight, trusting, brave company. It's really exciting to work and come to work every day.
Janos is the Hungarian director of the show.
Yes, Janos.
How do you say the last name again?
I may be butchering it, but Zsasz.
Janos
Zsasz. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And that's the director of the play, folks. But also apparently a filmmaker. Ed tells me we got to go check out The Notebook, a film that he made about a decade ago. We got to everyone go check that out. Apparently, that's our homework. And speaking of film, wasn't there was like a Mike Nichols miniseries version of this back in like, gosh, I think it's the 20th anniversary of that too. HBO.
Yeah, HBO with Meryl Streep and Al Pacino and some terrific actors. Yeah, that's still streaming on HBO demand, HBO Max. And that is a terrific production, very realistic, very different from this one. But terrific and great performances in that as well. So.
Maybe Al Pacino will be come close. Maybe he was close to your performance of Roy Cohn. You know what I mean? Top Ed Giro.
I don't know.
I love it. Well, I have more than enough to work with. Is there anything else we should add? How about I like to end like this. Pretend I'm not even here. Just talk directly to our listeners and say, you know, hey, DC area, come on out and watch Angels in America. You know, it's going to move you and change you or whatever you want to say.
All great words. Folks, if you get the chance in the next 2 weeks, come and see this play. You will not see anything like it before. Great acting, great story. It's a landmark production. And it will be talked about for a long time, I believe. So come on down and see some great acting, a great story, and a great conversation about Angels in America. We're all angels in America. It's about us. So come down and see it. You'll love it.
Awesome. Thanks. Again, it's Angels in America Part 1, Millennium Approaches, now through April 23rd at Arena Stage. So get your tickets now, arenastage.org. Hey, Ed, thanks so much.
Thanks, Jason. Always a pleasure to be with you.